be with you this morning. I think I'd like to come back next time you have the Polaroid contest. I can't wait to see the early morning risers around here. I think every person who dates and is getting serious in terms of choosing a life's partner ought to get to know that life partner early in the morning. Nothing like getting a real look at people. I travel quite a bit by flying from various places and around the world. And I enjoy flying. I never cease to be amazed at the ability of that huge aircraft to get off the ground. I heard the story of a fellow who always wanted to be a pilot. I have four children, ranging in age from 23 to 6. And my oldest son, Dan, wants to be a pilot. So I can appreciate this story. It happened someplace in the South, in Birmingham, Alabama. And this fellow wanted to be a pilot all of his life, but he could never had the opportunity. He wasn't able to go to college. He didn't have enough money to pay for flying lessons. And so he got a job as a janitor at the airport in order to be close to planes. And he worked his way up to the air traffic control tower, and he became janitor of the air traffic control tower. And he loved planes so much that he would spend off hours sitting in the control tower watching the planes come and go. One day while he was there, he was so much a scene that one of the air traffic controllers became suddenly ill and had to leave the panel. And he turned around and he said to Joe, come, take my place for a minute. And so here was his chance. Joe, the janitor, sitting in front of the screen at the air traffic control tower. And no sooner had he been seated than he saw the blip on the screen, and he got a call over the radio. This is Eastern Flight 301 from Atlanta to Dallas, requesting permission to land. And Joe said, I read you, Eastern 301. Yes, and I give you permission to land on runway 13 from east to west. And just a second later, there was a call from Delta. Delta Flight 71 from Dallas to Atlanta, requesting permission to land. Joe says, yes, I see you, Delta 71, and I give you permission to land on runway 13 from west to east. And there was just a moment of silence, and the Eastern pilot comes back on, and he says, now, did I read you correctly? You gave me permission to land on runway 13 from east to west, and you gave Delta 71 permission to land on runway 13 from west to east. Is that correct? And Joe thought for a moment, and he said, yes, sir. Now, I said, you all be careful now you hear. And you know something? Keep thinking about it. It's coming. There is a sense in which we look at the world that way. We have a tendency to look at people and we say to them, as it were, you all be careful now you hear. You all be careful out there. There's judgment coming, but you all be careful. When it comes to the critical areas of life, we must have a clear and precise message. I want you to look with me, if you happen to have your Bibles, in Luke chapter 15. And I want to talk today about a very sobering but important truth. And it relates to the fact of the lostness of man. Luke 15, three parables that Jesus gives, each one relating to the importance of understanding God's perspective in relation to the lost. Luke 15, verse 3. Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then the next parable is about the prodigal son and the prodigal son coming home. I want you to see three things in this parable, and then I want to paint a picture of the world. The first is this. The number one priority of the shepherd is to find the lost sheep. That's his first priority. He leaves the 99 and he goes out to find the one that is lost. Second, one lost person gets full attention. One lost demands full attention. Third, finding the one lost brings great rejoicing with God. There is great rejoicing in heaven over one sheep that is found. We live in a world of people, 5 billion people. How many lost people are there in the world? People who do statistics tell us that there may be 200 million evangelicals. That is, people who believe that their only hope for heaven is by personal faith in Jesus Christ alone. And the only way they shall know God and get to God is through faith in Christ alone. Suppose we said that there are twice as many saved people as the demographers tell us. Suppose I said there would be 400 million people in the world who have trusted Christ. That would be a very secure figure. We know there probably aren't any more than that. What does that tell us about the lost? That leaves 4.5 billion people in our world, over 9 out of 10 people in our world who are lost. 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 If you've ever been in a little store or in a department store with children, and I happen to have a smaller child, and you go into the department store and it's around Christmas time and it's crowded, and suddenly Philip is underneath the curtains or underneath the skirts or someplace, he's playing, and mother and dad turn around and look and can't find him, it brings terror to our souls. When our child is temporarily lost, what does it do to our hearts to think of the fact that 9 out of 10 people in our world are headed for destruction? They're lost. Many are lost and don't know it. We serve in Japan. The greatest problem in Japan in proclaiming the gospel is that people don't know they're lost. They don't realize they're lost. It's one thing to realize you're lost and look for a solution. It's one thing not to know you're lost and don't even recognize the solution when it comes. Who are the lost? Who are the lost in this world? Those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sins and life eternal. The Word of God tells us there is one name given among men whereby men might be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. There is one way to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Do you believe in your heart that a person who has never heard of Jesus Christ is lost? Do you believe that? There's a book that's been written very recently. It's called Evangelicalism, the Coming Generation. And the author did a survey of 8 evangelical colleges. And he asked this question. The only hope for heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ, except for those who have not heard of Jesus Christ. I'll repeat the question. The only hope for heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ, except for those who have not heard of Jesus Christ. How would you answer? Yes or no? 32% of the students in 8 evangelical colleges answered yes. And more frightening, 44% of the faculty answered yes. There is a creeping universalism today that questions whether a person who has never heard of Jesus Christ is lost. Can God possibly judge a person who has never heard? That's the question that is asked. The Bible is fairly clear. If you look in the Word of God, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the thesis of the Apostle Paul is this. Man is not moving toward God. Man is moving away from God. Turn with me. Romans 1. We want to look quickly at this. It's very important. Romans 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Verse 19, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but instead turned to the creature rather than the Creator. God says men are lost because they've rejected Me. They've rejected My revelation. They've rejected creation. They've turned from the Creator to the creature. Chapter 2 of the book of Romans. The question is, what about the person who is religious? What about the person who seeks God in religion? And Paul, speaking of the Jews, brings us to the point of verse 12. For all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. God will judge every man by what they know. But the Word of God tells us and concludes in chapter 3. Turn to chapter 3, please. Romans 3. What shall we conclude then in verse 9? Are we any better? Not at all. We've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Verse 23. The Lord Jesus is telling us here there's only one way, and that is through Him. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Folks, if you believe that a person who's never heard of Jesus is not lost, if a person who's never heard of Jesus, if God will provide another way, then I say to you, it's sinful to send missionaries. Because once they hear, they're under condemnation. But the Word of God teaches, every man and woman on the face of this earth is lost, and there's only one way that God has revealed for them to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has told us there's no other way that a person will get to heaven but through Him. Romans chapter 10. Turn there, please. Romans chapter 10. Verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Folks, the tragedy of today is, listen to this carefully, 2/3 of the world has never heard with understanding who Jesus Christ is and what he's done. And worse than that, one half of the world's population cannot hear. One half cannot hear. There is no believer in their people group, in their community, among them, who can share with them the good news as a neighbor. One half of this world's population is lost and has not heard. What does it do to us? What does it do to us? I want you to go back to John, go back to Luke, to the parable. What is God's view? And I want to turn that parable around, Luke chapter 15. Where we work in Japan, 99.5 out of every 100 Japanese are lost. Where we work in Taiwan, 99 out of every 100 Taiwanese are lost. Where we work in the Philippines, 95 out of every 100 people are lost. We work among a people group in the southern part of the Philippines that's Muslim, that 100 out of every 100 are lost. Listen to maybe the way Jesus would give that parable today. Jesus told them this parable in verse 3. Suppose one of you has one sheep in the fold and loses 99 of them. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses 99 of them. Does he not leave the one in the open country and go after the 99 until he finds them? And when he finds them, he joyfully puts them on his shoulders and calls them home. What is God's concern for a world? The statistics in terms of Asia are not 99 sheep in the fold and one lost, but one sheep in the fold and 99 lost. If the shepherd would give his life for one, if the shepherd's priority is the one, how much more is his priority the 99? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does lostness mean to you? I was lost, headed for hell. And I heard the gospel many times, and God gave me the opportunity to believe. I served in a town in the Philippines. There was an elderly man who came to me one day, 80 years of age. He had known the Lord Jesus for 10 years. He said, "For 70 years of my life, I sought to know God. And the Jehovah's Witness came to our town. And I listened to them. And I said, something's not right. And the Iglesia Ni Cristo came to our town. And I listened to them." That's an indigenous sect that does not believe in the deity of Christ. "And I said, something's not right. And I went to my church for all these years. And I said, something's not right." He said, "Finally, you came to town, our mission, and had tent meetings, and I came and I listened, and the first time I heard the gospel, I believed. But the next question," he said, "penetrated my heart, and was this: why did it take you so long to get here? Why did it take you so long to get here?" What is God's method of reaching the lost? God's method of reaching the lost is us. We are the ones that are to be the channels to reach a lost world. The tragedy of the hour is not only the fact that men are lost. The tragedy of the hour is that those who know the message hide it. Those who have it don't share it. What does it mean to you? What are lost people like? Just like us. Up in the northern Yukon in Canada, I met a man 6'4". His name is Trapper John. He's not on TV. He's a PhD. He became disillusioned with life in the lower 48. And so he moved way up in the Yukon. And he wanted to go back to nature. And he had a huge trap line. We had a missionary in the city of Dawson, where they had the gold rush. And Trapper John would come into Dawson 3 or 4 times a year. And the missionary opened their home, and he came in and he drank coffee with them, and they shared the gospel with him. And he was an agnostic. He said, "Christianity isn't for me." And one day he took a trip out to the lower 48, and on his way back, he stopped in a bookstore, and he remembered the book that the missionary had recommended that he read. And he picked up Basic Christianity by John Stott. And he took it back to his trap line. And while he was going along the trap line in the wintertime, he was reading through Basic Christianity, and he became in turmoil over the question of who Jesus Christ is. Is he what he claims to be, or is he a liar? And in the process of time, Trapper John came back to the missionary's house with his puzzled question and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I heard him stand and give his testimony in a little chapel in Dawson, how he had found the Savior. But folks, he never would have found it if somebody hadn't paid the price to go up to that northern barren place and be there and love and live and share the good news. How many of you ever take film with Fujifilm? Fujifilm from Japan. There's the headquarters of Fujifilm in Japan is a town by the name of Minami Ashigata. And I'm going to give you a quiz afterwards and see how many of you remember that. Minami Ashigata. Minami Ashigata is a town of 125,000 where Fujifilm is located. You know how many churches are in Minami Ashigata? One little church of 15 people. In a town of 125,000, two single lady missionaries have devoted their life to see towns like this reach with the gospel of Christ. And I sat there on a Sunday morning with these 15 people. And here is a Japanese businessman, 27 years of age, finished college, his first job in Fujifilm, an engineer. And they had gone door to door and given out literature, and a piece of literature got into his door, and he read it, and he was interested. He wanted to come to learn English, and in the process of time, he trusted Christ as his Savior, just getting married. And I sat with him, I talked with him, and he shared with me his burden. He said, "I'm the only Christian in that whole complex of Fujifilm. Will you pray for me that I'll stand for Christ?" But he never would have been reached if somebody didn't go. There's a little Hakka girl in Taiwan. The Hakka people, 2.5 million. 0.5% evangelical believers. And in this little village in the Hakka town, our missionary was going from house to house. And he came to one house and he heard of the fact that they had a daughter who had polio and was crippled. And the Chinese society, if you're a woman and if you're crippled, you're kept out of sight. You're put in the back so that nobody will see. And he asked if he could go see her. And he found this young lady shriveled up emotionally and physically, bitter. If there is a God, why did he do this to me? And months went by. And in the process of time, Mei Li trusted Jesus Christ. And I was in that little Hakka church, and I saw them bring her in and sit her on the front row and face beaming and singing the hymns of Zion with a joyful heart because Jesus had transformed her. But she never would have known if somebody wasn't there. And come with me and behind the little church in the Philippines. It's a fairly big church, an urban church, and they're preparing for baptism. And people are bringing gunny sacks. And in their gunny sacks, they have images of the Virgin Mary and pictures of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and beads and prayer books. And they're bringing all these things and they put them in a huge pile. And the pastor and the missionary take a sledgehammer and smash those images to pieces. And on the pile, they put kerosene and they light the fire. And then we join hands with the believers and sang, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." Men turning from idols to serve the living God. They never would have done it unless somebody there was there to tell them. What are you doing that will make a difference for eternity? What are you investing in that will count? The wise man spends his life on something that will outlast it. What will outlast life itself? People. 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 God's method for reaching the lost is us. Have you ever said to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I don't care where, I don't care what, I don't care how, I want to be your instrument. I give myself to you. I want to be who you want me to be to reach the world that you love. The Good Shepherd gave his life for the lost. And the Good Shepherd says to us, you want to find life? Lose it for me, and you'll find it. The world will never be reached until there's a mobilization of resources such as we've never seen, until people have their hearts on fire and believe with all their hearts that Jesus is the only way, and that the only way men shall hear is if we obey. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? I'd like to suggest three things that you can do. Number one, every one of you can do this. You can begin to pray for the lost. You're doing that in your prayer groups. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. There's no bamboo curtain with God. There's no iron curtain with God. There's no geographical barrier with God. There's no linguistic barrier that He can't cross. You can pray for people in the world in language groups that you may never get to. But God will answer prayer if His people get serious. Are you praying for the lost? And as you pray for the lost, when William Carey began to pray, God laid a burden on his heart. He couldn't just pray. He had to do something. Second, be available to God to go anywhere and do anything. Don't put parameters around what God can do in your life. Don't put boxes around saying, I'm now in this major and that's where I'm plugged in for the rest of my life. You may be, but let God decide that. Be available to God. When I was in college, every time I heard a missionary speaker, I'd say, Lord, send me there. And one week it was Africa, and the next week it was Asia. But I was available. Are you really honestly open in your heart and saying, Lord, anywhere I'm available? Third, get involved right now. Evangelistic teams from this college, camping from this college, ministry in churches. Ask God to give you a passion to reach the lost. And you can get involved in missions through summer programs. One of the best ways to get your eyes open as to where God might use you is to go overseas for summer. Do it. Do it. Fourth, probably the hardest. Take your hands off of your life. And say to the Lord, I want to go to some people who will never hear unless I go. And I'm going to head in that direction unless you change it. Right now, we're looking for urban teams in the city of Yokohama. We've identified 5 areas of the city of Yokohama that have populations of 40,000 or more with no evangelical church. We've identified 4 areas outside the city of Madrid of 125,000 with no church. We're looking for people to go to Hong Kong to minister to blue-collar workers that have been unreached. I can give you 33 people group that we're crying out for people to go and tell them the good news. Our problem is not opportunity. Our problem is obedience. Are you willing to say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll head in a direction, and I'll be your instrument to bring the good news to someone who's never heard. If you don't want me to go, you can shut the door. What are you doing for the sake of the lost? We know what the priority of the shepherd is. What is our priority? Let's pray.